morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Okay, not too bad, not too bad. Today, I kind of want to speak about the, what I like to call the Gospel for Dummies.
That's us.
Yeah, it's probably more of us than what we realize type of thing. But maybe to kind of build this scenario, let's start by looking at one of the Psalms. So if I could have someone read just a couple verses, verse 3 and 4 from Psalm 82.
Psalm 82, verse 3 and 4 says, defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked.
Okay, any responses?
It's pretty direct.
About serving others, less fortunate.
About our calling.
Upholding the cause of the poor.
Helping our brothers.
The oppressed.
So on Sunday mornings when we're singing a bunch of praise and worship and raising our hands and everything, are we really thinking about the poor?
Usually not.
It says in your rescue, so I mean obviously they're in need. Everybody needs a rescue from something.
Yeah, so according to this, we have a responsibility to kind of help those. And so we have to kind of be cautious that maybe sometimes we congregate and strategically come up with ways in which we're not even mindful of those who may be experiencing impoverishment. So maybe we need a gospel for dummies. Maybe there are more dummies out there than what we're aware of. So I'd like to spend some time trying to clarify the gospel in terms in which we see the long-haired Mediterranean peasant itinerant Jewish rabbi from Nazareth.
So long.
Oh, yeah, we call him Jesus. All right. Kind of what he was doing. So let's start out looking at the gospels. I mean, the Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John are pretty good narratives that paint a portrait of Jesus, and when we look at Jesus, we see God. So if we want to know what God's like, we look at Jesus. And if the psalmist is talking about reaching out to those who are impoverished, do we see Jesus reaching out to those who are impoverished? And if so, then it seems like God's reaching out to those who are impoverished. And if we're going to call to follow this long-haired Jew from Nazareth, then maybe that's what we're supposed to be doing. Make sense?
Makes sense.
All right, let's jump into Matthew's gospel then, and can I get somebody to read from chapter 22?
22, 34 to 40.
Please, yep, 22, 34 to 40.
After Jesus had made the Sadducees look foolish, the Pharisees heard about it and got together. One of them was an expert in the Jewish law. So he tried to test Jesus by asking, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law?" Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like this one, and it is love others as much as you love yourself. All the law of Moses and the books of the prophets are based on these two commandments."
Okay. Thoughts, comments, questions?
Love.
Love, yeah, maybe.
So he takes all the laws of Moses and he screeches them down to these two little laws that he just said. Love God and love your neighbor.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. Okay.
You know, after hearing what I read earlier, and then hearing this, I think there's a difference between loving our neighbor in theory and loving our neighbor in a hands-on way, you know, assisting. And I think, you know, a lot of people have concern for the poor and compassion for the poor as long as somebody else is taking care of them, you know. A lot of people are willing to make contributions, maybe, you know, to different organizations. But I think what Jesus is looking for is interaction with the poor, as brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's why I want to refer to this like the gospel for dummies. I think we tend to say Jesus gives us these two commands, love God, love neighbor. And I'm going to propose today that there's a third one. Kind of as along the lines of what you're speaking. Mother Teresa once said that, many people like to talk about the poor. Few will talk to the poor.
Yeah.
Right. It's one thing to reach out in a spirit of compassion from a distance. It's entirely different to go down there and, sit in the alley with somebody. Right, and try to befriend them. That takes quite a bit. I do think when we look at the life and the mission and the ministry of Jesus, we see him doing precisely that. Right. Before we went on the air, Brant, we talked a little bit about maybe what the contextual situation was with Jesus and these Pharisees. Anything you want to share with our listening audience about that conversation? Or
I asked you the question of. He comes to this Pharisee that's trying to trick Jesus, and he asks him a question about the law, and Jesus later refers to his disciples that I'm leaving you with two new commands. So I was wondering if did he present the two new commands in this passage before he said the two commands the 12 disciples.
Yeah, I think we said yes, and then we emphasized John, or we stated how John in his writing really emphasizes if we're going to say that we confess him, that we need to walk as he did, right? If we're really going to claim that we are one of his, then we need to practice what he did, and that's loving God, loving neighbor, right? These type of things. I think hidden in that is precisely where the third commandment is, which I'll get to in a minute.
Really?
Yeah. But I was referring more to your question about, is he just summarizing the entire law? And I stated, to some degree, yes. Right? If we looked at the Ten Commandments, by the time Jesus shows up on the scene, these are now 613, and these Pharisees know every one of them. Right, they're they would be the equivalency to our modern day lawyer. They know the law, and the Pharisees were very quick to point out your shortcomings according to those 613. Oh, you got 469 wrong. law number 383. You just disobeyed. That's what they do. And, I mean, who wants to live in an environment where somebody's always kind of like taking a checklist? And yet, if we're honest, gentlemen, we may see in our own spiritual walk, isn't that the way we kind of feel God's doing with us? Mm. Kind of keeping this little checklist. And somehow we see in Jesus this sense of liberation from that type of oppression. Okay? And then what I stated was, it's not that Jesus is just fulfilling the Ten Commandments and breaking down the first four as loving God and the last six as loving neighbor. All right? That's true, but he's just not, trying to make a simplified version of the Ten Commandments, that he argues back with these legal experts citing their own law to them. To love God, he cites the Shema. It comes out of Deuteronomy 6:4. Now, these legal experts would have been well familiar with the Shema. Right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Classic statement on monotheism. Right? But love your Lord, God. Right? And then he cites Leviticus, love your neighbor. Again, citing the law to the lawyer. Because, a lawyer can't really
shout
argue.
It down his throat.
Yeah, the Pharisees, as lawyers, are not going to argue. They can't argue against the law. That's what they profess. So in a sense, he kind of right. puts them on Front Street right in front of everybody. All right. And in doing so, has he not also cited their law to themselves and exposed how they have corrupted God's calling on their life to love God and love neighbor, that their enforcement of their 613 has actually created an injustice and does not practice love of neighbor to their fellow Jew. Does that make sense?
No.
So in this sense, Jesus becomes kind of a defender of the poor that we saw in 82, Psalm 82. He is liberating the weak, right? The impoverished. So out of that, what do you think then might be the third commandment that Jesus gives us?
I think it might be repenting of our sin.
Okay, well, I think if we're going to practice loving God, loving neighbor, that's implied. Yes, we're going to have to make some changes. Right?
I'm thinking spreading the word of Jesus.
Go on.
I think that it might be, you know, spreading the word, spreading the love so they can spread it to others, spreading, you know, giving back to your brothers in a way of
make
Jesus.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Matthew 28, we call it the Great Commission. And, you know, we think, and here's the thing, if the gospel is about, you know, this liberation from oppression that is realized in loving God and loving neighbor, in Matthew 28, he says, go into all the world and do likewise. Make disciples. Well, what are you going to do? If we're going to, as John would say, practice what Jesus did, right, what do you do? You love God and you love neighbor. And he says, go, make disciples. That sounds like a command.
Yeah.
Right? And what kind of disciples are you going to make? What are you going to teach them?
Rescue the poor.
How about love God, love neighbor?
Rescue the poor.
Well, there you go. There's our gospel for dummies right there. It's we cannot simplify it any more than that. Right? Yeah, Jesus gives us a command, you know, to go out and make disciples. In other words, teach others, right? Just what he has taught us. Love God, love neighbor. And we can't say we're loving neighbor if we're not helping those who are experiencing homelessness, hunger, you know, addiction, all these types of impoverishments. And everybody has some form of impoverishment. Right? It may be an emotional impoverishment. Right? It could be a spiritual impoverishment, physical impoverishment, all kinds. But those who are not, who are being deprived or access to the resources in order to have the wholeness of life that God called them, that's an injustice. Which then brings us back to, brings us to the prophet Micah, right? Chapter 6, verse 8. What does the Lord want from you? What is God expecting from you? To walk justly, to practice justice, right? To love mercy, show compassion, right? And then, you know, to humbly hold his hand, walk side by side. The word picture that comes out of the Hebrew is just that, that you, it's kind of like a father and son holding hands. You got a little junior, you know, who's up to your hip, reaching up, holding your hand, walking side by side. We don't walk before God, we don't walk behind God, we walk side by side. As in a sense, the image that God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, walked with, right? And we walk with by practicing justice and showing compassion, right? You can't say we have compassion if we're stealing from our neighbor, right? Showing compassion is how we love our neighbor, right? Doing justice. So when Jesus talks about, look at, you need to, you know, if you forgive one another, your Heavenly Father is quick to forgive you. So when we are, if we're going to say that we love God, we will express that love for God in the way that we treat our fellow human. And by treating our fellow human is precisely how we express our love for God. They're inseparable. Loving God, loving neighbor. That's what he did. That's what he taught us. Well, gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.